Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Wednesday, May 6, 2015. And with me today, I have John Martellaro. How are you, John?
Good morning. I'm good. Thank you.
Awesome. It's great to have you here. And always great to have you here too, Dave Hamilton.
Thanks. Yeah, it's good to be Dave.
That's the word on the street.
Yeah.
That's what Huggy Bear tells me. Yeah. So I thought we could start today by taking a look at the confirmation that Apple has given us through a KB article that they do in fact have a web crawler out there, and it's scouring websites and collecting data. And what Apple is saying is that they're collecting information for Siri, Spotlight, and some other services.
Cover story.
So you think, John, that Apple is working on their own search engine to compete with Google and Bing?
Well, I don't know if I'd be that blunt about it, but I doubt whether Apple's telling the truth about this bot. I'm kind of leaning towards what Brian said in the staff meeting. I think it's a warm-up practice run to see how search goes and what happens and how they would use it.
Well, I think right now it's a tool to offer Apple product users enhanced search results through Siri, Spotlight, and some other services, but is not a full-on move into full search engine.
Well, that could well be. I mean, enhancing Siri's ability to search and produce results is basically Apple's end around Google, right?
Right. Well, and they're already sidestepping Google in some ways because Bing is the search engine for Siri.
So, right. Yeah. But I mean, it also could just be a bot that's going out and collecting data like that. You know, it's going to find new words, right? I mean, that's sort of an issue with Siri is it we need an update. Or Apple needs to update their system to add things that enter the vernacular into Siri's interpretation database, right? Or otherwise, you'll say something and it just doesn't come across right because Siri is not aware of the word. Whereas if you're out there scouring websites every day, if there is some new phrase that enters the vernacular, it's going to be one of those things that will appear in multiple places almost simultaneously.
Right.
And so you could track that stuff and say, oh, hey, wait a minute. This word needs to be added to Siri's database. This word needs to be added to Siri's database. That's one of the biggest problems with Siri is it just gets weird when you start mentioning things.
Hey, Dave, I got a theory for you. Just thought of it.
Go.
Well, Google search is really, really good. They've been doing it for a long, long time. And I've tried Bing from time to time, and I always went back to Google. Could it be that Apple discovered that if they're going to depend on Bing, they have to make up for what they've discovered to be weaknesses in Bing to supplement it? So that the two of them together, Apple's bot plus Bing, equals something as good as Google search.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, they say that they're collecting it for Spotlight, too. So, mm-hmm. I mean, that Spotlight, mm-hmm. to say that, I mean, they say they're not going to take over the search engine market, and yet they say they're putting it into Spotlight. So, which is it, folks? Because Spotlight is a search engine, and in fact, it's the search engine Apple's trying to get you to use on every Apple device.
Right.
So,
yeah, that's true.
Right? I mean, that's... You don't get to say both of those things simultaneously and not get called to task for it.
And here we are.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, maybe they're not going to start a, AppleSearch.com website to compete with Google, but they certainly have an engine that either can include results from Google or Bing or, any other source or Apple's own back end.
And Dave, yeah, why do you think Siri hasn't shown up on the Mac?
That's a good question. You know, you can do dictation on your Mac. It's not as fluid as it is on the iPhone, but you definitely can do it built into the OS. And a lot of people don't realize that there's a difference, and nor should they, but there is an engineering difference between Siri, which is the engine that performs actions for you, and dictation, which is simply you just spitting words at, you know, at the phone or your Mac. And so one exists in both places, the dictation engine. And Siri, of course, relies on that dictation engine to feed its its input. But yeah, interesting that Siri hasn't appeared on the Mac. Yeah, think about that.
If I remember correctly, Microsoft is gearing up to put Cortana on Windows 10.
Microsoft makes a lot of bad decisions. So, no, really.
Well, I see that as a whole in Apple strategy, not having Siri on the Macs.
Okay,
it's just weird.
We had a hole in Apple strategy in that they didn't have an MP3 player until they came out with the iPod. There was a hole in that they didn't have a phone until they came out with the iPhone. There was a hole. No, seriously, there was a hole in that they didn't have a tablet until the iPad, and the same can be said about the watch. Apple, I've said it a million times and I'll say it again, Apple does not prioritize being first with technology. Sometimes they are, but that is, first to market is not a priority for them. Doing it properly is. And that means saying no to entire concepts if doing it properly is not a box they can check off. Now, and we could argue that they've released some things that they don't do properly, and perhaps the watch is on that list at some level. And it may fall off that list at some level as they iterate and developers get better, etc. But in Apple's mind, everything they release is done properly. And so maybe they've tried and have not yet found a way to do Siri on the Mac that actually enhances the user experience of the Mac.
I have a feeling you just nailed it, Dave.
Could be some ergonomic issue, too, with vocalization.
Yeah, think about
the way we use our computers as opposed to the way we use our iPhones and our iPads and now our Apple Watches.
How often do you want to use your computer hands-free? I mean, maybe if and of course you could say never because we don't have that option. So that's not really a fair question, which is true. But until Apple comes up with a good way for us to use our computers hands-free, where it's better, then they won't do that. I mean, your iPhone, it's kind of a pain in the neck to type with two thumbs, and that's what most of us have to do on the phone. So Siri is better, there. There's also the hands-free scenarios where you don't want to be looking at a screen, and so interacting with your iPhone via voice makes good sense. But interacting with your computer just via voice doesn't make good sense. Having voice be an add-on, an additional way.
But Dave, I remember walking into Kim Silverman's office one day at Apple, and he was proudly showing me how he walked into his office in the morning, hung up his coat and started talking to his computer. And this was 2004. And he was giving all sorts of vocal instructions to his Mac, and he was demonstrating it. It was pretty primitive at that time, but he was very keen on that. Kim Silverman, last time I checked, is the head of Apple voice recognition technologies at Apple.
Right, but he doesn't even have to wait until he gets into his office to do that now, because he has voice commands on his iPhone. Right. So, is there a reason? Does it make sense in the UI of the Mac? Right. I mean, you've got a full keyboard and a mouse and not a touch screen. And so it's a whole different thing. I'm not saying that it's never going to be there, but my guess is that Apple has yet to find a compelling solution or compelling use case.
I know what it is. It's my fascination with, the idea of marrying Siri to a physical manifestation and on the screen, sort of like Knowledge Navigator. Knowledge Navigator, instead of a bow tie.
You want Microsoft Bob. I want to talk to Microsoft Bob,
instead
John.
Of a Bob's bow tie guy. Something a little more modern.
Hey, bow ties
are cool.
I think that's
what's driving me.
Yeah. There's so many places we could take that. And yet, unfortunately, I'm sure we have other topics, right?
We do. It's like you read my mind, Dave. Yeah. And actually, the other thing that I want to look at today is a listener response. And this is from Tom Bridge. And Tom, thank you for listening. It's great to have you paying attention, because you actually called us out on something that we were complaining about several days ago, which
Friday's
is
Friday's episode, I think. Yeah.
Yes, that's right. It would have been Friday's episode. Yes. So the deal is, the backstory for those of you that that aren't caught up with Dave and me and Tom, is that we were complaining about the fact that on our Apple Watch, we can do a workout, and then we can see the results of that workout immediately, and then we just
on the watch,
and then we just don't have access to that information anymore.
Yeah, and I'd said you can dig in the health app on your iPhone. There's still no way to get it on the watch, but you can dig in the health app on your iPhone and find workouts. Now, it's buried, but it is there in its own thing, right? So you got to go into health data at the bottom. You go to fitness. You go to workouts. And then go to show all data. So several taps, four taps, I believe. And then it shows you all of the workouts that you have recorded on your devices, in my case, only from my watch. And then on each of those, I can dig in and I can see everything except average heart rate. And that is still true. However, Tom is correct, because he pointed out that this data is available on the watch, and it is in a new app that appeared on my watch after I installed a new app that appeared on my phone. After
is on your phone, not on your watch.
Yeah, that's right. Thank you. So the health app on my phone, I can do all the aforementioned things. And then there's a new app on my phone called Activity, which shows me a history, a calendar, a month calendar history. So if I know, I can't look up workouts directly, at least I haven't found a way of doing that, but I can go to the history, and if I know that I did a workout on, say, Wednesday the 29th, I can dig into that day and see all the data for Wednesday the 29th, including a little line that said, I did a 224 calorie outdoor walk. And then once I tap that, yes, I get all the data that I was looking for, plus my average heart rate. So it is there, but that's not all that convenient either. I mean, it's good that the data is shown to us, but A, it's weird that it doesn't appear in the health app, and B, it's weird that the activities app is really only – the only UI you have is a month calendar to dig into it. You have to look at it by day. There's no way to kind of coalesce that data. The data's all there. It's just not – Apple doesn't have an app yet that shows it in a form that I feel is user-friendly. But Tom, thank you. You're totally right, because you made me realize, A, this activity app is on my phone, which I had not realized. Of course I should have. But
It's understandable why you didn't, because Apple doesn't tell you about the app, and it doesn't appear until after you sync your watch or pair your watch with your iPhone.
Right. Okay, that makes sense. Yeah. Okay. And it's weird. There's another section, so I can look at history again by month, or I can look at achievements, and I can tap on, you know, I've unlocked some achievements here, and I can tap on them, and it says, okay, you did your first walking workout on 4/28/15. But nowhere can I tap to actually see that. It's this achievement. It says you did it on this day. Then I would need to go back to history, remember that it's 4/28/15, and dig in and find that. So it's not great. I mean, let's be honest.
It's a start.
It is, yeah.
And hopefully Apple will offer up some better interfaces so we can get at more of this data. And if not, well, then third-party app developers, it's up to you to pick up the slack for Apple and give us better access to all this information that we would like to have.
Yeah.
And Tom sent us screenshots to back up what he was saying, which is great. So, Tom, I commend you on your workout efforts. You're totally rocking it. Go you. Yeah. So
Jeff, before we finish up,
uh-huh,
ask me what microphone I'm using this week.
Hey, John, what microphone are you using this week?
As regular listeners know, I've been testing various microphones. And previously, I'd been testing condenser microphones, and they didn't work out very well. With my voice in my office, they worked, but I was looking for something that would really be the best microphone for my voice in my office. And so this week I'm testing the Rode Podcaster, which is what you use, Jeff.
Yes, that's what I'm using right now, even as we speak.
And actually, it is not the mic I use for Mac Geek Gab, but it is the mic that I am on right now because it's the one I have at my desk in my office. So we are all on Rode Podcasters today.
Nice, nice. So we have a great way to compare. Excellent.
Yep.
Right. Yeah, I love my Rode Podcaster. And so listeners, let us know what you think of John using a Rode Podcaster. And he's continuing to try out more microphones. So as he runs through whatever he can get his hands on, eventually he's going to choose one and stick with it. And you guys get to give us some input on what that microphone is going to be because, well, you have to listen to his voice. So you might as well get to listen to it in the best way possible. So let us know what you think of the Rode Podcaster. And John will keep trying out microphones. All right. That's all we have today. So John, thank you for being here.
You're welcome. It's great.
Dave, yep, it's always great to have you. Dave, thank you for being here.
My pleasure.
And Tom, thank you for giving us feedback and pointing out the activity app that we had missed seeing on our iPhones. And listeners, thank you so much for the feedback you're giving us through iTunes. And if you haven't given us a review yet, fire up iTunes, head to the podcast and write a review because, like I said, we love having your feedback. And hey, we'll see everyone again tomorrow.